Check out We Are Cavan Football Podcast in association with McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Real food, real people. Try Super Value's own range in store today. Quality products at one third the price of branded labels. McAvoy's Super Value, Virginia. Supporting local. We Are Cavan Podcast. Because Cavan's not just a place, it's a people. Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the McAvoy Super Value GAA podcast brought to you by We Are Cavan. On today's show, we're going to be looking back over Cavan Hurlers' end to the National League, the Alliance League, where they were narrowly beaten by Sligo in the league semi-final over Markovic Park. We'll hear from manager Ollie Bellew and top scorer on the day, Nicholas Kenny. We'll also be looking back on Cavan on the 20s defeat in the athletic grounds. The footballers were beaten by Armagh, and we'll hear from the Cavan on the 20 manager, Larry Riley. And a quick look ahead to the weekend's action in the All County Football League, which gets round two underway this weekend. Paul Fitzpatrick, sports editor of the Anglo Celt, joins me as always. Paul, we'll start off with the hurlers. The league campaign came to an end, I suppose, a bit like the footballers. If at the start of the league somebody said to you that you'd have ended up in the semi-final and coming really close to a very strong Sligo team, you'd have taken the hand off them and say that's a good league campaign.
Ah, it's an exceptionally good league campaign. When you consider where Cavan's final finishing position is, it's Cavan's best league campaign, I would say, probably in a couple of decades. Certainly by far the best since the team came back after that 6 or 7 years where there was no Cavan Hurling team, and going back a long way before that as well. So I think they'll be very happy. When they went over to Sligo the first day, they were sort of off the pace in the first half and then played very well to come back into it. And I think they've improved so much throughout this league that they were going to Sligo now expecting to win the game. So it's a really good news story. It has been all year. Cavan had 9 wides in the first half, Sligo only had 3. So in the second half, Sligo started to hit a few wides. But Sligo were 4-0 up in this game. Cavan came back and went 6-5 up. So Cavan competed very well. Sligo then pulled away and went 19-12 ahead before Cavan came back into it. Got a goal from Thomas Leonard with 8 minutes to go to leave three in it. They had another chance there through Leonard and a great save from the Sligo goalkeeper denied him later on. So a good performance. The top scorer for Cavan was Nicky Kenny, who got 11 points, 3 of those from play. Thomas Leonard got 1-1. Jack Parry got 2 points. They're still missing Canis Maher, but it's not a major injury. I think it's like a stress fracture or something like that. They expect to have him back for championship. So I think Cavan are in a very good place at the moment.
It's wonderful preparation for the Larry Maher, which gets underway, I think, in 3 weeks' time, 2 or 3 weeks' time. So it's ideal preparation considering the standard of team that Cavan are playing. So let's hear from the Cavan hurling manager, Ollie Bellew, and then top scorer, as Paul mentioned, Nicholas Kenny. Joined by Ollie, after disappointment here in the league semi-final, I suppose compared to the first league game, it was a brilliant first half. He's really put Sligo under pressure, but maybe just didn't take enough of the chances.
No, we certainly didn't. We had 10 wides coming on at half time, and they had hit one, which was sort of an indication of what way the game was going. The conditions were terrible. Like, you know, we had a big breeze, but that wasn't the key to it. You know, we were hurling well and creating, I think we created 22 scoring opportunities. But the 10 wides were absolutely criminal. You know, they were what hurt us.
They worked exceptionally hard. You can't ask for anything more in terms of honest effort from your boys, that they continued the battle right to the end. But I suppose Sligo showed real quality in the last in the second half there as they worked all the way to the final whistle, Sligo.
And listen, Kamir, Sligo have treated us with brilliant respect in the two games. You know, they haven't put out weakened teams. They haven't took the foot of the pedal. You can hear the cheering and roaring that was going on with every score they got. Like, they come at us like a train. So the amount of respect that Sligo hurling team has for Cavan hurling's incredible, and fair play to them for it. And you know, it's what we've been working towards. It was one of our key goals, is that we earned respect for ourselves, and I think we've done that. You know, we came here today and Sligo were really lucky to get out of here with that win, and I suppose they were hanging in there at the end. We're coming at them with absolutely everything. A few decisions didn't go our way that clearly should have went our way, but you know, that's hurling for you. You just have to lick your wounds and get on with it. But you know, I just think that's one we've left behind, to be honest with you.
It feels like one that was left behind, particularly, as I said, in the first half. But if you look at it as experience for the Laurie Maher, that's as good of experience as you'll ever come across.
It is, yeah. Like, we have to, we go and meet the intensity of every team we come up against. We go and try and match them, and you know, we've lived with Sligo, we've lived with Mayo, you know, and we try to maintain that intensity of training Tuesday, Thursday night. You know, all Tom's training sessions are based on high intensity, high work rate, playing in compacted areas. So when we're under pressure out there, we never look like we're in much trouble. You know, we look like we know how to deal with it, which we absolutely do. So, I mean, yeah, a nice break now. Maybe there's a wee silver lining in this today, that we're not in the final and we don't have another game next week, and maybe a few injuries and sore bodies to patch up, because that was a battle out there, you know. So maybe that extra week's break, maybe there's something good has come out of it.
Your panel is getting stronger, though, as the league has gone on. I know, obviously, Canis Maher didn't play there, but you got Killian Shannon on the field. You got a lot of minutes into a lot of players throughout the league.
And we've more to go. Like, that's the focus now next week, is getting the panellists all up to speed. You know, we've a lot of great fellas that need a lot of miles put into the legs, you know. But, yeah, our panel is getting better. It's getting stronger. People are coming back from injuries. But you forget that, you know, Thursday night we lost Brian Fitzgerald, we lost Niall Clark and our goalkeeper, we lost Canis, obviously, did a bit of an injury. So, you know, you wouldn't think that we're maybe three starters from every other game down, because the boys that are coming in are boys that you'd be used to seeing starting. So people think that it's our, you know, it's always our first 15 out there. It's not necessarily the case. We don't even know what our 15 is, because we just keep getting more and more bodies back. Boys keep putting their hand up for it, you know. Rian Delaney probably feeling a wee bit hard we left out in one game after having such a great year, but somebody else come in, and then Rain's back the other day working his socks off and back in, and that's only one example of so many young players that are pushing through.
Yeah, you have to be delighted with Gallagher getting the clean sheet in a late replacement in there.
Yeah, listen, Connor is absolutely top drawer and such an organiser at the back, and I mean you didn't even get to see a shot stopping today because our back line was so strong. Philip was under a wee bit of pressure with a couple of early bookings. I mean, sure, bringing Dominic Crudden back in, you're flying. You know, Dom's been three for us for years and years, you know, so we're safe as a row of houses at the back. We just have to cut out the sloppy mistakes around the middle and just get a wee bit sharper up front. If we get those couple of wee things worked on next 2 weeks, we'll be hard to beat.
Looking forward to the Laurie Maher.
Looking forward to a night off and having a bottle of wine, if I'm totally honest with you. But then planning starts again tomorrow. We're taking Tuesday night off. We'll sit down with the group then and we'll treat the Laurie Maher as a whole new start. But after coming out of, I'm absolutely sick. Like, I'm gutted today, but it's been a sensational league campaign. So, you know, coming off the back of that, if everything's set up nicely and ready to go in Laurie Maher, you can't but be looking forward to it. It's going to be hopefully a cracking championship for us. And if we can reach those standards that we're reaching every day, we'll not be too far off.
Joined by Nicholas Kenny after defeating this league semi-final, but compared to a few weeks ago when you came here for the first game, you were 15 points at halftime. You never let them fully get away from you.
Yeah, I suppose it was very important, I suppose, that we came up, and from the start we didn't want to. We felt like going in, I suppose, the last day going into halftime, that we didn't do ourselves justice. So we just went out and fought at it in the second half. Whereas, I suppose, coming in today, we knew we're as good, every bit as good as them. So we wanted to give it a real opportunity and be in the mix from the very get-go, you know. So we did that. We did that today, and we kind of battled hard from the get-go, but just came up short.
When you look at the first half, it was probably the best first half that you've put in all league, but maybe missed opportunities was why Sligo were still in the game at halftime.
I suppose, but like I think we did make it hard for them. You know, the backs were absolutely tenacious there with their defending. They were, I suppose, Tom and Ollie have been kind of pushing into us that we pushed them out to the side, and if they're shooting, they're making it difficult for them. So the backs and midfield worked extremely hard. The half forward line, everyone did really. And yeah, I suppose like, you know, yeah, we just battled really hard. Like, and from the get go, that's what we wanted. We said we'd attack the first 5 to 10 minutes. That we have in every other game we played in the league, we've either been down or we've been disappointed with ourselves. So we attacked the first 10 minutes, and there was a strong breeze there. Obviously, it kind of helped things. But we're nearly a better team against the wind. So we knew we were level at half time going into the second half, and we thought we were in for a right chance. So we did. We gave it everything. Just a couple of maybe decisions didn't go our way, and In fairness, we did. We had about 10 wides at half time as well, you know, so it was definitely there for us. You know, we're disappointed.
It probably was. It wasn't a lack of effort by any means, but you have to admire some of the skill execution by Sligo was really top draw.
Some really good players there, like they're Christy Ring, so you know, we're up against it, and we're just delighted to get a chance to play against these teams, Sligo, Mayo. You know, we do think we're every bit as good as them, and you know, Cavan Hurling is just in a great place. It's progressing on, you know, we want to be playing against these teams, and that's going to hopefully bring us with the speed and everything like that going into the Laurie Mar and make us a real team for the Laurie Mar. You know, I suppose after the league campaign, we really pride ourselves now on being a really tough team to beat. We're really battle hardened. You know, if a team are going to beat us, they're a good team.
So yeah, disappointment from it, as Ollie pointed out there, those missed opportunities in the first half probably cost them in the end, because they were the better team in the first half. And do you know what? Isn't that great to be able to say a Cavan team was the better team in the first half? It's so rare in all of our GAA codes at the moment that it was a good thing to say. Just unfortunately, we didn't get the better team status in the second half.
Yeah, here's one for you, Damien. What do you think Cavan's odds are to win the Laurie Maher Cup at the moment? So they're in the Laurie Maher with Fermanagh, Longford, Warwickshire, Leitrim and Lancashire.
You'd imagine they have to be favourites, aren't they?
Yeah, Cavan are odds on, 10 to 11 favourites. Fermanagh 5-2, Longford 7-1, Warwickshire 10-1, 12-1 Barr. So that says a lot about where Cavan have come from, that they're now favourites to win this competition.
Yeah, Jesus. I'd have thought, me being the optimistic Cavan man, that me saying their favourites would have had them maybe in second, but that's... And 10-11, like, you couldn't be backing that. It's, you know what I mean? Like, there's too many hurdles you have to get over before you can say you're going to win that. Like, 10 to 11 going into a game alone will be short enough odds. But for the overall competition, that's very short, isn't it?
It is short when you consider you have a group stage. So all six teams are in the group and the top two teams advanced to the final. Last year, Cavan missed out by 1 point on getting to the final. Monaghan topped the group. Cavan bet them well in the group stage, actually. And then Monaghan went on and won the competition. So Cavan are in good shape. Fingers crossed this could be the year now for Cavan. They've already played in the final of this competition a couple of years ago as well. So the wow factor at Croker shouldn't be there either. So it's looking very promising for Cavan Hurlers. Hopefully they can keep it going.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Okay, on to the Cavan under 20s. They headed up to the Athletic Grounds on Wednesday afternoon, the Box IT Athletic Grounds. But they came away with a disappointing defeat in the end. Nearly snatched it at the death, but a first half where they played with the wind and they underperformed cost them. They were 2-6 to 1-3 down at the break. Second half, they made a real fight of it, particularly in the last 5-6 minutes of ordinary time, where they reeled off 1-2 and brought it back to a 2-point game. They could have snatched this one. Like they when they had it back to a 2-point game, they'd won 3 kickouts in a row, but just didn't make them count on the scoreboard, even just by taking points. Maybe panicked a little bit and you know, went for goals when points would have been good enough.
Yeah, I thought this was a game where I think both sides panicked at the end. There was turnovers galore in the last 5 minutes. I thought Armagh went from looking a good, very well-organised side to an absolute rabble in the last 5 minutes. Once the goal went in, which was a lucky enough goal that Cavan got, Barry Donnelly bundled it home after a scramble in the box. possibly maybe even carried it over the line. I'm not 100% sure, but it wasn't a vintage goal, put it like that. Armagh just collapsed after that, and they couldn't seem to get their hands on the ball, and Cavan started winning kickouts and really driving at them. Definitely eschewed a couple of point scoring opportunities that in hindsight should have been taken. Looked for goals. There probably were goals there. There was a goal or two there, I'd imagine. But to be fair to Armagh, it shouldn't have come to that, I don't think. Armagh were the better side, and they led for 6 or 7 points was kind of the margin throughout the game. It was the margin at half time. I think they got it out to 8 at one stage, and Cavan never led in the match. So it would have been hard on Armagh had they lost the game. I thought they were much the better side on the even, to be fair. Cavan didn't play well, and it's disappointing because we know there's a lot of good players on that Cavan team. And people might listen to the pod, might think, well, the lads are bigging up players here. And I thought that myself. I was like, well, maybe we're overestimating the ability of some Cavan lads. But you only have to look through the panel, like, look through the team that played. Faver Shehu was one of the standout players in the senior championship last year, with Cavan Gaels. And it, like, honest, a Cavan Gaels side that struggled at times, he really stood out in the senior championship, which is the highest level of football we have available to us within the county. Owen Harton excelled in the senior championship and picked up a winner's medal and looked excellent. Evan Crowe, we were told, was one of the very best players in the All Ireland Freshers competition. He ended up winning an All Ireland Freshers medal with DCU and really shone at that level. Barry Donnelly absolutely played out of his skin in Croke Park in an All Ireland Junior final. People might say, well, that's junior, but that Listowel team had five or six fellas who's played minor and under 20 football for Kerry in the last couple of years. Donnelly looked as good or better than any of those lads. Darragh Lovett was on the under 20 team of the championship 2 years ago. That's not to mention a lot of other very good players that are there in that team. So it was an underperformance for Cavan. I think they'd accept that themselves. I thought they just never got going. Kicked the ball into the hands, played into the hands of Armagh, ran up blind alleys, kicked the ball away, struggled with the size and physicality of Armagh. And I thought Armagh systematically fouled Cavan, particularly in the second half. Whenever Cavan seemed to create a little bit of daylight or a bit of space and Cavan were going at them, they just fouled and they seemed to rotate it around. And I thought the referee, in fairness, did penalise them. From the first 17 frees in the second half, by my count, 15 of them went to Cavan. Very, very, very unusual to see a free count of 15-2 at any period in any game. I think the overall free count was something like 19-9 or 19-10 in favour of Cavan. Now, I didn't think he was a good referee. Thought he was inconsistent, and he let a lot of obvious fouls go, like on both sides. I think, I'm not sure which Cavan player it was, right from the throw-in, got the ball. The Armagh player comes in with the knees on top of him on the ground, and he gave a free against the Cavan player. It was another one later on where Lorcan Riley clearly handled the ball on the ground. He didn't give it. Thought he wasn't consistent, and I don't like that fussy style as I'm always complaining about. And this wagging of the finger and all that. I can't stand it. But that said, the referee wasn't losing it again for Cavan.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on it. That I thought the referee started with a particular style where he was just letting everything go, and then he kind of changed, and that's very, very frustrating when you're along the line or when you're on the field. You know, you're trying to gather information as you go as to what the referee is doing and how he's interpreting the tackle, or and then when it changes, it is incredibly frustrating. But again, there are one of those things. That's one of the things that's just out of control. It's not within Cavan's control, and there's probably enough things within Cavan's control that they'll be disappointed with overall, and they look back, as you said, players with real quality and a lot of effort, a lot of work has been put into them, but they just maybe underperformed on the evening. And look at that can happen, but it puts pressure on them now going into that Fermanagh game. They're now in championship mode, knockout mode, that it's you must win the game. But look, I spoke with the Cavan manager Larry Riley after the game. Joined by Cavan manager Larry Riley after disappointing defeat here. First half didn't just quite go to plan, but the lads again showed that fighting spirit in the second half, but maybe left the run a little bit too late.
Yeah, I suppose, Damien, we left it in the first half again. we had a couple of bad mistakes, and we were punished with two goals, and again went in at half time. What, 6-7 points down again, and just left ourselves with too much work to do. And you know, we had a good second half, I suppose we pushed up a bit more. Maybe they tired a wee bit as well, but look at in the end, 2 points in it. We a couple of frees, we missed a few frees, and maybe a few decisions didn't go our way. And maybe it, look at another night, maybe you might have snatched a draw with a wee bit of luck on your side as well.
It was a little bit the penalty, I suppose, went. Some referees give it, some don't. But then when you got back to 1-4 apiece, it was a sucker punch to concede that goal straight away.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, it wasn't what Armagh done. It was a kind of mistakes of our own, which we're trying to get out of our game. But look, when you're playing at this level, make mistakes, you're going to be punished, and that's what happened. We made a few mistakes, and we got punished with probably 1-1 from play and from the penalty. So a 2-1 turnaround, you know, so you just cannot make mistakes.
The physicality of Armagh had a lot of big men that could just break tackles. It was an advantage.
Yeah, they're big. They had good big mobile men. And I suppose the one thing Armagh done was the shot from distance. And from our point of view, we didn't get enough pressure on. And maybe the surprise of me, but they did kick a lot of good scores. And I don't think they did very few wides as well. So, you know, kicking from distance, it's the way the blanket defences is going, and men behind the ball, it's going to have to become an art again, because the way the game is going, 15 men behind the ball or 14 men behind the ball, it's getting impossible.
And it was that from Armagh. It was 15 players behind the ball, which made it very difficult for you to break down.
Yeah, and look, it's the same in every game, unfortunately. As I said, that's the way football's gone. It's gone so zone-based and players behind the ball and trying dispossess and break at pace, and it's really gone like basketball, isn't it? That's the way it's gone. So unfortunately,
looking though down to the final few minutes, when you brought it back to a 2-point game, and you had real good pressure on the opposition kick out after winning three of them in a row, and had an opportunity maybe to tap the ball over the bar and bring it back to a 1-point game, tried to force the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we had an opportunity maybe to kick a point, to bring it back to a 1-point game with probably a minute and a half to go. But look, we didn't do it. Lads will have to learn from that next day out. Maybe if we're in the same situation, we stick it over the bar and try and bank ourselves that we'll retain a kick out and get a leveler or something like that. But you know, look, the lads have put in a massive effort. We can't fault that, and unfortunately the result didn't go our way.
It brings pressure on now. It's knockout going into the Fermanagh game in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose Fermanagh's going to fancy their chances as well. The winner gets to a quarter-final. And I suppose at the start of the competition, if you have said you're going to make a quarter-final and a knockout, you'll be happy enough. So look, we'll dust ourselves down. We'll get back training next week, and we'll get ready for Fermanagh this day fortnight.
Brady's Arva Limited, main dealers for Volkswagen cars and commercial vehicles, have been serving the needs of the motoring community in Cavan, Longford, Leitrim, Monaghan, Meath and the surrounding counties for over 50 years. A family-owned and family-run business, Brady's are famous for their long association with the GAA. If you're looking for a new or used car or commercial vehicle, check out Brady's Arva Limited. They provide an unrivaled sales and after-sales service and are open 6 days a week. Brady's Arva Limited. Get on the winning team today. See www.bradysarva.ie for more details.
So yeah, they've 2 weeks to get the train back on the tracks, I suppose. But again, not easy to do in terms of, because there are factors there that make it very, very difficult. I know that there's trouble getting pitches, which is something we'll come back to at a later point, you know. But you know, when you're preparing for a championship, you don't want to be worrying about pitches or seeing can you get a place to go and train. That should be at the back of the list of things that you want to be worrying about. And that really is, it's something that's hampering and continues to hamper our county teams, and it's something that is a major problem that has gone a long time unfixed, unfortunately. But it's not going to be fixed from what I'm hearing in the next couple of weeks, and it's maybe a little bit worse than it needs to be. But we will come back to that at another point on another podcast. So the Fermanagh game in 2 weeks' time, all county football league. this weekend. I'm just looking through any fixtures that are catching your eye.
Yeah, there's a few good looking fixtures there, Damien, in fairness. I think Rammer and Cuchulainn's on Sunday, 2 o'clock in Dolan Park, local derby. And that's going to be a good one. That's going to bring a good crowd Easter Sunday to Virginia. I think that's a good game. Arva and Cavan Gaels is a good game. Like, there's certainly still a lot of luster, a lot of stardust about the Cavan Gaels jersey. They are one of the real marquee teams in Cavan and marquee clubs. And it's going to be a big thing for Arva now. It's All Ireland champions. Now they're up to Division One and they're rubbing shoulders with the real top teams. Sorry, they were in Division One last year, but they're at it again, and they're going to be bringing these big teams to Arva. And that, I think that's a good game. That's going to be an interesting game. Knockbride and Crushlaw is an interesting game as well. Obviously, Knockbride are in the junior. Crushlaw will have the designs of winning the senior. So they're totally opposite ends of the spectrum in that sense. And that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Crushlaw are going to be missing a good few county men, you'd imagine. Probably the game of the weekend is going to be Drumgoon and Coodhill.
Yes,
that's a hell of a derby. That's one hell of a derby. Always is, and that's going to be a cracker. There's one game this evening, which is Shercock and Templeport in Templeport. So that game is Shercock are listed first on that one, but the venue is listed as Templeport. So maybe O'Hagan Park isn't playable.
No, they just in order to play it, there's something on this weekend.
So you can see the home advantage.
Yeah, they conceded home advantage and to get it played on the Friday night. They went over there.
Kildallan are playing Killeshandra. Now, rumour has it that Kildallan are struggling for numbers at the moment. To be interested to see there. Killeshandra had a heavy defeat against Drumlee last weekend. Redhills are playing Mahara. Mahara, who had their best season in many, many years last year, but started off with a very heavy loss last week. So that'll be an interesting one to see. Can they get the ship back on course? Swat against Ballybor, it's going to be interesting as well. I think Swat are possibly a team to watch, potentially dark horses for that junior this year. As we mentioned the last day, you've got Garna and Castlerahan, Kingscourt and Ballyhays, Lara and Lachlan down a good few bodies, Lara down a good few bodies too, we're told. Killigarry and Killincare, it's going to be interesting. There's Beltorbet and Den, who won the junior a couple of years ago and got to an intermediate final. Beltorbet slipped out of intermediate, now looking to win the junior and get back up. That's going to be a good one too. So I think actually it's a good weekend of action. I doubt we'll see many, if any, county players outside the regulars who are likely to play against Monaghan, I think will probably feature. And it might actually give us an insight into who's going to feature against Monaghan too.
That's what I was going to bring up. I think from talking to Ray, and we'll hear from Raymond next week on the podcast, and that, you know, he referenced that basically look at the 26 that are togging out, won't be able to get league football, or won't be able to go back to their clubs, you know, some weeks. So I'm presuming he's talking about this week, because it'll mean that you couldn't really risk anybody this week that is going to get game time the following, or that is potentially going to get game time the following week. So it can give us a really good indicator of who may feature for Cavan next weekend.
Yeah, it will do. Yeah, so I'm going to try and get to one game Sunday. Maybe the Rammer game, I'm not sure. May as well cheer on my own lads before you say it.
There's a lot of good games. Somebody said to me that the Arva Cavan Gaels game could be the last game in Mikey Cully Park. The new pitch is ready in Arva, and they're hoping to have the dressing rooms done in the next few weeks. So,
any chance that some of the Cavan teams might get on it?
With any luck, they could do with a bit of space. Definitely, you should be looking to buy it anyway. Definitely, but best luck to all teams at the weekend. And don't forget, folks, check out the Die Hard podcast over on patreon.com/wearecavan, where we have loads of content, ladies podcast, looking back on the action from last weekend. We have the reaction from the Cavan Fermanagh game, and the Match Day Diary from that as well. And there's something else up there that I just can't remember right now, but there's loads of content over on patreon.com/wearecavan and loads more to come next week. A massive week of previews ahead of the Monaghan clash in Clonus. We'll hear from Killian Clark. We'll hear from Raymond Galligan, Eamon Murray. We'll hear from Vinnie Corey. So plenty of content over on patreon.com/wearecavan. And we'll also be looking ahead to Paul Gunnar Brady as he returns to the senior singles 40x20 final. Paul, have you heard about this one? He's a handballer from Mullaghorn. He's done quite well in the past. Have you heard of him?
Well, Damien, I foresaw Paul Brady playing in... No, we're definitely going to give that a dedicated podcast next week. There's going to be an Up for the Match online previewing that game as well. So we'll share the link to that for cabin people who are interested. The excitement is really building. The link for tickets is up. It went up on Wednesday. And they sold, I think in a couple of hours, they sold about a third of the capacity. The capacity is up around the 750, 800 mark in the new arena in Croke Park. So it's going to sell out. Interest is sky high. I don't remember interest in a handball final being this high in a long, long time. It's a battle for legacy. In the post Brady era, McCarthy has won a lot of titles and he's been a fabulous player. But it's a battle for legacy. Brady comes back and beats him now. Well, you know, people will say it tarnishes Robbie's legacy to some extent, which I wouldn't fully agree with. I think he's a phenomenal player. And anyone who watches the game on the TG Carr YouTube stream, which is actually a great stream, there's five camera angles. It's professional quality. They use footage of it on their Monday night show as well. So it's a really good job. And actually, TG Carr have reported back to GAA Handball that they are thrilled with the viewership figures in recent weeks as well. That's helped by Paul Brady's return as well. But handball is booming. And Paul Brady is back, so all is well in the world at the minute. And I'll save all the rest of my thoughts until next week.
Lovely, lovely. Well, look, it is the final is next Saturday afternoon up in Croke Park in the new handball centre.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone who's in Dublin, or there's a lot of cabin people up there, or someone who's at a loose end, go to that game if you can. Okay, watch the stream, but go to the game if you can, because if you can get tickets, because they won't be that easily got. But if you're thinking about going, book them early. Go to gaahandball.ie and you'll see the link there because this is going to be a monumental occasion. It's going to be one of the best sporting occasions you've ever been at. And I promise that. This is epic. A friend of mine went last week. He's never been to handball before and he was blown away by it. And the final promises to be even better than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an opportunity to see the GOAT, and you don't get to see the GOAT in any sport too often, but Paul is definitely that. So thanks very much for listening to the McAvoy Super Value GAA podcast. And Paul, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Demo.